St. Paul's image of the body of Christ is, again, so familiar that we are in danger of neglecting it. But it's very, very important. He puts the point very forcibly that a body is composed of different parts. You're different from me. You're different from the other people sitting around you. And we need each other. He even goes into different parts of the body perhaps despising each other. If I were a wonderful ear, I might think, oh, feet, I don't talk to them. They sound terrible. And have you seen the calluses? Really, I listen to the most marvellous words and music. I'm really quite a sophisticated organ. Or the foot might think, that fancy ear thinks itself clever. How far's it ever carried anybody? If a body's parts will not cooperate, that would probably constitute multiple organ failure, wouldn't it? It's fatal. Your body cannot function if the various parts won't cooperate. We all in our growing up like to enjoy certain liquids that can stop our parts of our body communicating with each other, and that's when we fall over and our friends have to pick us up. But there are diseases of the nervous system that can take away control. Well, we need each other as the body of Christ. We need to respect and celebrate our differences. It's part of who I am to be me and not you. It is, in fact, part of me to have you being you, so that you can be more you and I can be more me. As a teacher, as a parent, not yet a grandparent, but I'm not nagging my daughters, I love the differences between children. When I used to play every week nursery songs in the preschools across the road from us and up the road, I used to love watching the children's different personalities come out. And of course, all the random things they do. All of a sudden, in the middle of a song, one little boy is desperate to show you a dinosaur. I do strongly believe that God is like the grown-up amongst a group of toddlers. We, I'm afraid, are the toddlers. We have our quirks. We do mad things. We might be quiet. We might need coaxing out. We might need calming down. Or we might be heading off into danger. Did your children have reins? I think people still have reins of one sort or another, didn't they? It wouldn't be much of a surprise for you to learn that I needed reins for a long time. I tended to be one for misadventure. And that, I believe, is how we are with God. We think we're very clever. We have science and learning, but we go off as foolishly as toddlers. We squabble like toddlers over nothing. If only we would listen to God our Father. Actually, I think God is in many ways more like a grandfather, isn't he? As parts of the body of Christ, we're different from the rest of creation. We've thought a bit about personality. Do you ever think about consciousness? There's a huge difference between the awareness animals have and the awareness we have. Does anybody have a dog? You're all very quiet. You can be lively. Dogs only have one tense, don't they? They don't have a past tense or a future tense. They only have the present tense. I'm hungry now, feed me. I want to go out, open the door. I've had enough now, I'm going to lie down. A bit like toddlers, actually, isn't it? Dogs only have the present tense. We have past, present, and future. Our memories are conscious. We can consider them. But in the future, we worry what's going to come. Dogs don't worry about the future. They're hungry now. They don't care whether they'll be hungry in 5 minutes' time. Although most dogs, you feed them, and they eat as though it's the last meal they'll ever see, and they would eat another one straight afterwards. But they don't actually really have a sense of the future. Some of the higher primates have more of a human self-awareness, but that's another issue. Can you imagine God's joy when parts of his creation became self-aware and God-aware? When the newborn daughter or granddaughter, son or grandson, first fixes eyes on us and we see that they see us, it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Do you imagine that God is any less delighted than we are? We who are able to be conscious of God and relate to God, to give our lives to God, entrust ourselves to God, respond to God, we are his greatest delight in all of creation. The rest is wonderful, and I'm convinced that he cherishes it greatly. But we, you, are what he has been waiting for, and working for, and longing for. No pressure. We have consciousness, self-awareness, past and future that we hold in the present. God can help us to settle the past and not to worry about the future. Who, by worrying about the future, can add a day to their span of life? In fact, you're more likely to take a few days off if you worry about it all the time. The last thing on the list is identity. Oh, who am I? We may consciously choose to pursue a part or an identity. I became conscious as a young man of being English, with good things and bad things. And I decided that if I could pursue the good things about being English, that would be a good thing to do. And also I would like it. Christian. I have been Christian for many, many years. I am doing my best lately to avoid using the word Christian as a noun. That might sound strange. But the trouble is, as soon as we say, I am a Christian, we're saying, that person is not. And I think that has a major flaw, because then we're starting to make judgments that aren't ours to make. We are Christian people. We are pursuing a Christian discipleship. I wouldn't want to say that I am a Christian and someone else is not, because that might shut them out. Someone might say that I'm not a Christian because I'm not their sort of Christian. So I'm trying to avoid using Christian as a noun. It's a very good adjective. It's a much better adjective, but it does have problems as a noun. So if I'm English and Christian, what else am I? And what is it for you? Oddly, moving down here after a long time north of Birmingham, which counts as the north to us, but to my Glaswegian son-in-law is the Midlands. He thinks of Yorkshire as the Midlands. When I moved back and found that my new patch bordered on the Thames, I felt like I'd come home. I didn't realise that part of my identity was tied up with the River Thames. Where is your identity? How much is being Christian part of your identity? How much of it is nation? a lot of our identity is given to us. The circumstances in which we live, they shape us, just as our relationships and especially our early years shape us. The things we are brought up to expect, they're part of our identity. It can come down to the school we're able to go to, what social class, what locality and group we are. Where I was before in Chester, there were ardent Liverpool fans and ardent Blues, and you really didn't want to talk about Liverpool or the other club in the wrong company. It's amazing how strong a club identity is. I don't even say the other one. I only support Chelsea at all because my grandfather used to support them in the days when you could walk up and look over the fence. Now I think you'd need to be 40 feet tall, wouldn't you? All that small stuff, but it's all in there, part of our identity. To be the body of Christ, we have to surrender all that, all those little things that make up our identity, and let God lead us in the big things. The small things can often come along. I believe very strongly that God is a big fan of steam trains. You may also share this insight. You may believe that God is a big fan of other things that I don't care about. He's probably a big fan of all sorts of exciting things. Just because I'm a 9-year-old boy inside doesn't mean that God despises the things that I enjoy. What is it that you love that God also loves? He loved it first, just as he loved you first. But we are called to be the body of Christ, and in that body, we surrender our identity to a shared identity, which is greater than anything we have of ourselves. And it's not, as they say, a zero-sum game, because as I build someone else up, so I am built up, and we are all built up as we build each other up. It's like the mushrooms in our kitchen, which come from a kit. You water it, and very soon you've got mushrooms filling the room. They're really quite delicious. The identity that God gives us as the body of Christ makes everything greater and better and sifts all the dregs away. So, what are you like? Who are you? What are you? Time to stop navel gazing, but worth taking away an awareness of God's love for us in all that we are, in all that we do, in all our passions and desires that come from him. Heavenly Father, help us to let you melt away all that is not holy, all that is not true. Draw us into the nature of your Son, Jesus Christ. Build us up into the best of what we can be, and unite us together, loving and respecting each other, rejoicing in our differences, and building up each other in faith and love. Amen.